You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
And views expressed on this program are the responsibility of those who make them. They do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted to be here. I really mean that, you know. I mean, it was some question about whether I was going to be around to do this show actually last week. Last week at this time, I was still in the hospital. And people were telling me things that were not very encouraging. Well, yeah, you know, nobody was really discouraging. But, you know, they were telling me things like I'd had a stroke. And I wondered whether I was going to be around to do the show. And so when I say I'm delighted to be here, it's not just something to take up the airspace. I really mean it. Now, let me tell you, I continue to improve. And someone... Actually, it was Peter from Australia who sent me an email today saying that blueberries are the thing that those are what I should be eating, and that eating blueberries would reduce my risk of having a stroke by something like 66%. Well, I don't know whether it will or not, but I like blueberries, and I see no reason not to try it, so I certainly am going to. And I appreciate the information about that. Those of you who are joining us for the very first time tonight, special welcome to you. I am delighted you're here, and I hope you will feel the same by the end of the show. I think you will. Now, this is an open line live night, and that means we'll talk about whatever is on your mind. No kidding. We're going to talk about whatever it is you wish to talk about. And one of the things that I want to talk about, got a couple of things here, pretty important things, interesting things. One of the things I want to talk about has to do with the Phoenix Lights. Remember 10 years ago, we had that massive UFO sighting here in the Phoenix area. And I call it a massive sighting because it was a massive craft, and it was being seen by hundreds, if not thousands, of people in the Phoenix area. And in fact, it had been seen flying from north in Arizona down to Phoenix, and then it continued on south down toward Tucson. So it was massive, and it was a very large craft. It has been estimated by some who are experts, by the way, to have been something like 2 miles from wingtip to wingtip. Okay, and the thing was hovering over Phoenix for quite some time. But guess what? We had officials who tried to tell us that, number one, it's nothing and everybody should just calm down. And number two, we had officials telling us, don't know what it is, but it's certainly, what you think is a flying saucer, we think it's flares. And we had the public saying, you people are loony, you're insignificant, get out of the way. So here we are 10 years later, and we're going to discuss some new developments in the Phoenix Lights case. We'll be back. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to alienseekernews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
A mouse click away from a better way to rent movies. Blockbuster Total Access. Movies through the mail plus movies through the store. One low price. Get a free trial at your Blockbuster store or Blockbuster.com.
Sure you know what you're doing?
Yeah. Where's Ralph? Come here, Ralph. Okay, Ralph. I want you to mount the flat screen on this wall, and then I want you to put the speakers here and here and hook it up to our computer so we can play slideshows and music. Ready, Ralph? Install.
For home theater help, you don't need a dog. You need Fire Dog. Home theater installation, PC service, wireless, and more. Fire Dog, your digital home companion at Circuit City.
And we are back, and it is Open Line Live night. Now, our telephone number is 1-800-289-1092, 1-800-289-1092. That's toll-free from the very tip-top of Canada to the very bottom of the United States of America. And I'm not real sure where is the United States of America's bottom, but it's toll-free, though, wherever it is. And you can call in with whatever topic it is that you would like to discuss. Now, 10 years ago, actually March the 13th, 10 years ago, we had a big event here in the Phoenix area. It made the news worldwide and is still making the news worldwide. It is called the Phoenix Lights. Now, this is not a light show that was put on by the residents of Phoenix. Okay, this is definitely not that. The Phoenix Lights is what we have come to call an incident in which a very, very, very large craft, perhaps as wide as 2 miles, hovered over Phoenix, an unknown craft, a craft of unknown origin, hovered over Phoenix for several minutes. Hundreds and hundreds of people saw it, and videotaped it and photographed it, and lots of people have been talking about it ever since. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
It's Michelle from Quebec.
Yes, Michelle.
Yeah, it's good to hear that kick in your voice again.
Well, it's good to have that kick, I can tell you.
Well, I knew you were doing fine when I read my thing you sent me there.
Oh, what was the clue?
Just a little bit about Vista.
About Vista. Yeah, well, it's the truth. I don't wish Microsoft ill. I'm not one of those people. On the other hand, I'm not going to say that they're wonderful and great when they create a product that is simply crippled.
Well, I know what I phoned you for, Kevin, is I think you should get Linda Morton Hall back on.
Okay.
The B story is getting out of proportion. She's talked to people in the government. She's talked to scientists all over the world. This is a big story. And I couldn't do it justice by talking about it because, I mean, I just will repeat what she will tell you, and she can say it a lot better than I can. But it's a big story, and it's something that the people of all over the world should hear.
I'm making a note here. Okay, I'll get an email off to her this week.
Because, I mean, this is a big story, Kevin.
It is. It's a lot bigger than people think. The bees are dying by the shipload, and therefore crops are not getting pollinated. And so there's going to be a lot of agriculture failure as a result.
There's a lot more to the story than that. But anyway, the story about the governor there from Phoenix. Remember when you brought out that alien?
Do I remember when he did?
Yeah, you remember he said he caught the culprit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've been steaming ever since I read the articles that I sent you.
Well, did you read the article that I posted in my blog about that?
No, I didn't have a chance to read that. I was on the email all day. Mm-hmm. It took me from 7 o'clock this morning to just about airtime to get through my email.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Governor Symington tonight.
I won't go on to that, so I'll leave it to you. But I just wanted to bring that up and get a phone in to get the ball rolling because, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there, lots of news right now.
A lot of stuff.
And I ain't overdoing it with the email to you, am I?
No. You know, I appreciate it. I read all of it. Some of it I read in detail. Some of it I scan real quick, and but no, it's all very helpful. I appreciate it.
Well, I just think sometimes you might, you know, even if the story ain't interesting, you might find something else in that blog or that page.
Uh-huh.
You might find interesting, or it could be with the guest you're having that night or not. Anyway, I just wanted to phone in and say I'm grateful to have you there. We need you. Keep up the good work, Kevin, and I'll let somebody else phone in now.
All right, Michelle, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
What Michelle is referring to is something that happened when we had this Phoenix Lights incident. You might imagine if you were to walk outside in your part of the world, look up and see a huge craft of about 2 miles wide hovering right above your city. You might imagine that it would shake you up a little bit. Some people were shaken up, although I have to say that there were hundreds and hundreds of people that saw it. There were videos and photographs taken. But there was no panic in the streets. There was calm. At the same time, people were calling. They began to call their various elected officials wanting to know. Not instantly, but within the days following, wanting to know who is looking into this. Now, frankly, folks, I've always wondered, why would you be calling the government asking them who is looking into a UFO incident? You already know the answers that you're going to be given, right? Well, we had a city councilwoman by the name of Frances Barwood who did something really, really strange, for politicians. She took her constituents seriously. Now, that's a very strange thing for politicians. There are a few who do take their constituents seriously, but it's not normal. It's not usual. Usually, we get the same old prattle from people, these elected officials, who think they govern something. They don't. They work for us. They are our employees. They don't own us. They work for us. We own them. But Frances Barwood was from the old school of politicians that believe that you listen to your constituents. They want they want you to represent a position, you represent it. If they want you to ask a question, you ask it. And she began asking questions in the city council meetings about this Phoenix Lights event. She wanted to know who is investigating this. My constituents want answers. We had a governor at the time by the name of Fife Symington. Now, Fife Symington was well known across America at the time, and he was a Republican governor of Arizona. And Fife Symington called on June 20th, 1997. He called a press conference, and he said the incident was going to be investigated by the Department of Public Safety, DPS, and that they had some secret evidence, and that they had, in fact, as Michelle said, apprehended the culprit. At this point, he produced on stage next to him a little person who had been dressed up in a gray alien costume. And it was all ha 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 hoo hoo hoo, he 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 tee he he. One of the silliest, dumbest, stupidest, mudsuckiest ideas that any politician has ever pulled. Now, I have to be a little bit careful here tonight. And I'm going to tell you up front why I have to be a little bit careful. I have to be a little bit careful because Fife Symington, 10 years later, is singing a different song than he sang then. I mean, at the time, there were people in the press who were really ticked off because they felt like they had been had. He called a press conference. People were seriously interested. The press was seriously there to gather the news, to their credit. And then he turned it into a ridiculous, stupid, mudsucky joke. And the public at the time wrote him off immediately that day as being totally, completely insignificant. When you are the governor of a state and you get written off by the public as being insignificant, your career is pretty much over. But why I have to be a little bit careful is that I have absolutely nothing good to say about Mr. Symington's performance that day. I don't know him, and so I have nothing good to say about him personally, although I have nothing bad to say about him. But his performance that day was beyond the pale. His performance that day was so juvenile, idiotic, stupid, inane, and the list goes on and on. Yet, Mr. Symington has changed his tune. Right now, Mr. Symington is saying, and he's given this interview to a newspaper here in Arizona. Nobody else was very much interested, but he said, I saw it too. It was a UFO. It was not flares. It was huge, it was real, and I don't know what it was. And when he was asked, why did you make fun of it like that? He says, the whole state was on edge, and I just felt like people needed to lighten up a little bit. I just wanted people to lighten up a little bit. The damage that he did was by having official ridicule from him, not just from his office, but he officially ridiculing the whole idea. By doing that, it threw cold water on a lot of really credible witnesses that would have come forward. He did a great deal of damage that day. He did not serve the people well who elected him. Okay, he did not realize, perhaps at that moment, that he was not the king, that he was the janitor. He is the employee of the people. And he made himself silly and useless and insignificant that day. I have not been pleased with Fife since that day. I didn't even live here. And when I saw on television what he did, I was really ticked off. Ticked off that people that we elected and whose paychecks we pay were not taking seriously the concerns of their employer. And I think employers have a right to be taken seriously, don't you? And we, the citizens, are the employers. And when these politicians don't take us seriously, we have a right. We have an absolute right and a duty to mark them off as insignificant and at the very first opportunity fire them and replace them with someone who will take us seriously. And but it did, I have to say, you know, maybe Fife maybe he is playing, in fact, a new tune, and maybe he is, in fact, going to be serious about this. However, the damage that he did to himself and to the cause of truth and openness about the UFO subject, the damage that he did by his silly, childish, pusillanimous trick that day cannot, I think, be undone easily. It's not just, oh, gee, I'm sorry. No. It's, you know, I don't know if he can write himself back into the symphony or not. I have no idea. But I do know that in order to write himself back into the symphony, he's going to have to come out big and bold, and he's going to have to tell everything he knows, and he's going to have to tell it again and again and again. And, you know, all of the reasoning behind why he did what he did, you know, all of the excuses for why he did what, nobody cares. I'll tell you right now, nobody, I don't care why he did it. He did it. And he's just going to have to, he's going to have to peddle the truth now twice as hard in order for anybody to pay attention. Now, here we are, we're 10 years after the Phoenix Lights. He thought it was a silly and insignificant thing, and he made fun of it. 10 years later, the whole world knows about the Phoenix Lights, and nobody knows about Fife Symington. If he, in fact, is going to come out and tell everything he knows about that UFO incident, and if he's going to tell it loud and clear and pull no punches, if that's what he's going to do, then more power to him. Welcome aboard. If Mr. Symington is simply going to climb on board long enough to make another ridiculous stunt of it, well, I would say we just have to watch and see. I don't know. Trust everyone right after they do what they say they're going to do. There are a lot of people involved in the knowledge or the information about UFOs. The difference is, you know, they don't call press conferences and then just ridicule. True enough, sometimes they call a press conference and then just tell you a lie, but you expect a cover story. But, you know, they don't ridicule it. And I got to tell you, anybody who ridicules the idea that UFOs exist is completely uninformed and nutty. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Kevin in Iowa.
Here's Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. This Joker in Arizona, he is You know, I don't know why he's coming out with that, you know, with his announcement. If he's you know, maybe he's heard that this is going to break open. Hey, you know, that's what we're hoping for. This guy is such a piece of crud. You know,
well, I hope he's had a real change of heart and a real change of mind. But I got to tell you, that stunt he pulled, the nicest thing I can say on the radio is it was just mud-sucky.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's a liar. That's all these people are. When it comes down to it, they're just bold-faced liars. And, you know, I've followed some of this here recently, you know, this article where he comes out. And why would he say something like that? I mean, why now? What's his motive?
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, and I've written 3 articles about this now and published them in different places. And I forget which one, but in one of them I mentioned that those who saw what they saw, the eyewitnesses, they know what they saw. They don't need an ex-official or a current official to pat them on the head and say, that's right, you saw it. You know, who needs that? I don't know if I can really convey, Kevin, you know, really what I feel about this, but what I really feel about it is when you know something that another person saying is not true, they are totally insignificant, completely insignificant. They just don't matter.
I'll tell you what, I really think that this phenomenon is going to be broke open in the next couple of years. It doesn't have that much longer because just technology, it's going to break it open. I know it.
Oh, I think you're right. Kevin, if you want to hang on, you may. We have to take a break. Do you wish to hang on?
Sure.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment, folks, and more Open Line Live. What do you think about this deal?
With that phone.
It doesn't work that great everywhere, but
that doesn't come back to bite me.
Hello?
There's been a mistake. You took home a poisonous cottonmouth.
I missed that last part. What?
It could bite you.
I lost shit.
Hello?
Besides, I'm playing with my snake.
Wish you were on a more reliable wireless network? Verizon Wireless has the fewest drop calls of any national carrier.
Good.
Come give Daddy a kiss.
Yeah. Verizon Wireless, we never stop working for you.
You're just a mouse click away from a better way to rent movies. Blockbuster Total Access. Movies through the mail plus movies through the store. One low price. Get a free trial at your Blockbuster store or Blockbuster.com.
It has the clean, elegant feel of European design with a sculpted exterior of high-grade stainless steel. The very latest in programmable technology at your fingertips. There's even room for 12. But perhaps what is most extraordinary about this stylish machine is that it's free just for trying 4 boxes of Gevalia Cafe, Europe's most delectable coffee, for only $19.95. We'll even include a stainless steel travel mug. Order today and choose 4 from our exquisite collection of Gevalia coffees and teas. We'll deliver your freshly sealed selections direct to your doorstep along this sleek coffee maker and travel mug. A retail value of $115. Yours free for trying Gevalia with no further obligation. Order yours today. Gevalia Cafe. Always a pleasure.
You sure you know what you're doing?
Yeah. Where's Ralph? Come here, Ralph.
Okay, Ralph. I want you to mount the flat screen on this wall, and then I want you to put the speakers here and here, and hook it up to our computer so we can play slideshows and music. Ready, Ralph? Install!
For home theater help, you don't need a dog. You need Fire Dog. Home theater installation, PC service, wireless, and more. Fire Dog, your digital home companion. At Circuit City.
And we are back. Caller on the telephone is Kevin from... Kevin, where did you say you're from?
Iowa.
Iowa. By the way, how is the weather there?
The weather today was beautiful, about 60 degrees, partly cloudy.
That sounds nice. Sounds nice. It was a little warmer than that here today, but not bad. Okay, now, you're not impressed with Fife Symington's conversion.
How could you be? I mean, no, it's just, you know, it's very, very frustrating. This guy was lying from the whole time. We all know that. This character, you know, he's a politician. What can we expect? You know, it's exactly with McCain here in 97. What did he ask for?
Well, let's don't get into politics, okay? But no, but the thing is...
McCain inquired about the Phoenix Lights as well.
Oh, okay.
So he did the same thing, but he only inquired initially, but nothing, he didn't follow up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not talking about politics.
Yeah, you're just talking about the Phoenix Lights connection.
Yeah.
Right? Let me ask you this. What if there were circumstances that we're not aware of where Fife Symington maybe had pressure put on him that forced him to do what he did, and now he wants to come clean about it? What would you say with that?
Well, I don't believe that's what happened, because I just think these people don't have the answers, and there's nothing else for them to say.
Uh-huh.
But your question was, you know, if he was told that, then, you know, I guess we're a bunch of drones. You know, if that's the case, then we're really in a bad situation. You know, if we're being told all the way down from the top what to do, that's horrible. I mean, what kind of society are we really living in? You know.
Well, and Frances Barwood, she stood right on up and asked the tough questions and insisted on investigations. But as a result of Fife Symington's actions, or at least supported by his actions, she was, you know, kind of laughed out of school.
Yeah, he's full of crap. We all know that. All of these people are, and that's the you know, that's the biggest frustration that I have is, you know, who has the guts to take this? You know, I was listening to a show the other day about, and, you know, Jeff Willis, obviously.
Yes.
In Arizona.
Yes.
But now, if a guy is able to go out and spend, you know, 500 hours outside looking into the sky, we never look into the sky. I bet you, if we really had, you know, 10 or 15 sky watchers, we could get so much footage. Because if you ever walk outside, I walked outside today, and if you look into the sky, you see planes, you know, obviously, you barely can see them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are the odds of a person actually seeing a UFO? You have to look for it, unless it's really huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the fact of the matter is, in Phoenix, it sounds like this guy has recorded a lot of unidentified flying objects.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people have. A lot of people have.
He's got this new thing. I called him yesterday. I have no idea who he is. Just called him on the phone, and he's got a new show, Road Trip. So he's going to try to record UFOs all across America or whatever mm-hmm. he's going to do. But if that's the case, and a guy like that can record a UFO just by, you know, looking into the sky for 5 or 6 hours, you know, I mean, what could a person do with some real serious equipment, recording equipment, do? We could actually solve this UFO mystery if we just had some serious people going out, staring in the sky with some serious equipment.
Well, I think it won't be a whole lot longer before it gets solved all on its own. Really, it seems like there's a big, big increase in the number of sightings around the world. And if what people are saying is true, people who say that they are in touch with and are, you know, with extraterrestrials and their contactees, if what they're saying is true, then this is all going to come to a head very soon. Yeah. Listen, Kevin, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Kevin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm glad you're better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I pray for you, so, hey, keep it up.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. All right, folks, 1-800-289-1092. I think it's a good thing that we have a politician who is making a turnaround here. On the other hand, there's a lot of damage in the wake of what he did, and I'm a little skeptical. I hope he's for real. I hope it's a turnaround. The politician that we're talking about is Fife Symington, former governor of the state of Arizona. The turnaround has to do with the Phoenix Lights. At the time when it happened 10 years ago, he ridiculed it severely. And now he's saying, you know what? I saw it too. And I think, you know, it's real. It's not flares. And I think people need to know about it. So that's quite a big, big turnaround. And I'm a little wary, but who am I, right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hello, Kevin. This is Roger from Wisconsin. How are you?
Outstanding, Roger. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. The snow has melted up here, so we're starting to thaw.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yes, yeah. It is. I wanted to comment about Mr. Symington. I was living down, I was living down in Phoenix, actually Tempe, Arizona, when the lights occurred over the top of Phoenix. But I do want to tell you from my personal point of view that I do feel there were intelligent beings aboard the craft.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this because I felt them. I didn't see the lights, but I knew something was going on. It was a presence that I felt, and it was very calming, but at the same time, I don't know if I would call it benevolent, but it was definitely something bigger than all of us. But they're also connected to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it had happened. I don't know if you're familiar with Art Bell and his show.
Mm-hmm.
The night or two before, he put out a mass consciousness experiment to see if they could get any UFOs to show up over any major populated areas. And a day or two later, boom, it's Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, Symington, what he did was a joke. I got to see that telecast live on TV. That really irked me to no end. And then 10 years later, he comes out and he says, well, he actually saw it. Well, I know you don't want to get into politics or anything of that nature, but, you know, can we really trust anyone we elect into office just to have them come out and spout off, I guess, their truth afterward, after the fact, you know? And, you know, 10 years after the fact, he comes out and actually says, you know, was there a statute of limitations upon what he can and can't say when he's out of office? You know, that's another thing to consider. But Miss Barwood, she took the bull by the horns. She went out and she interviewed over 700 witnesses, civilians, police officers, air traffic control people, and military, if I remember correctly. And I'm really wondering what she has to say about Symington coming out now, you know, and have you heard anything about that?
I have, and I'm going to keep quiet about it for right now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is she, she's not too happy, or is she willing to work with him?
Well, I'm just going to keep quiet about what I have heard, and not for long, but I am going to keep quiet about it for another day or two.
Right. Another day or two, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I guess I will be tuning in to find out what she has to say. What are your personal thoughts, I mean, in general, about all of this?
I like for men to be men. I like for men to be honest, have integrity, have a spine, and stand up for the truth. That's what I like. And I don't see too many actual men. I see some males, but I don't see too many men wearing politician hats.
Right, right.
And I don't think that Mr. Symington acquitted himself well at the time.
Right. No, he didn't at all.
Yeah. I've heard that he's having a little bit of a difficult time getting the news media interested in his story. The person who told me that, I said, well, you really can't blame them after, you know, he pulled that trick on them.
Oh, right, exactly. Yes, yeah. Well, even so, they'd probably, you know, the mainstream media would just, you know, well, he's out of office now. There's really no reason to pay attention to him 10 years after the fact anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, you know, I really thank you for taking my call, and I'll be looking forward to what Ms. Barwood has to say on the issue.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Yep, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear things about what people have said or what they, you know, what their response is to certain things. I hear things all the time, and unless I have them confirmed, I prefer to leave it alone. But I think it would be very interesting for us to hear from Ms. Barwood, don't you? I think that would be interesting, and maybe she could just tell us herself what she thinks about this. You know, I said I have to be careful. And it's not because anybody has warned me to be careful, folks. That's not what we're talking about here. I have to be careful because people do make mistakes in life. And they, if they indeed are trying to make amends and make things right, you have to give them room to do so. And if indeed that is what is happening, I think that we should give Mr. Symington the room to do so. On the other hand, it's like Ronald Reagan used to say, trust but verify. And I think that's important because, you know, we don't want to get done in twice. I guess it kind of goes this way. You know, if you get snake bit, always remember where that snake is. Now, if the snake changes his nature, that's a different thing, I guess. But, you know, if you get snake bit, you want to always remember where that snake is and keep your eye on that snake. Well, I'm not saying that Fife Symington is a snake. What I'm saying is that, you know, we have a track record here, and it's not one that's not one that's positive or pleasing for those who are serious about investigating UFOs. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus. Sorry,
yes, Debbie.
I've got a cold, so it's going to be a little hard for you to maybe hear me.
Okay.
This Fife Symington guy, what a total joke. I mean, you know, those of us that are aware of all these things that are going on, we know that the Phoenix Lights are for real, and that, you know, this isn't a big hokey thing that was just put up there in the sky, you know, for everybody to say, hey, look, it's a you know, a frisbee or something.
Yeah, 2 mile wide frisbee.
Yeah,
Debbie, you're going to have to hang on because we're up against a break, but just hang on. I'll get to you right after the break. Yeah, it's not a frisbee, folks. The Phoenix Lights were very real. And people who said they were something other than a craft, people who say they were flares, well, misinformed, I guess, at best. We'll be back right after this.
You sure you know what you're doing?
Yeah. Where's Ralph? Come here, Ralph. Okay, Ralph, I want you to mount the flat screen on this wall, and then I want you to put the speakers here and here and hook it up to our computer so we can play slideshows and music. Ready, Ralph? Install.
For home theater help, you don't need a dog. You need Fire Dog. Home theater installation, PC service, wireless, and more. Fire Dog, your digital home companion at Circuit City.
You're just a mouse click away from a better way to rent movies. Blockbuster Total Access. Movies through the mail plus movies through the store. One low price. Get a free trial at your Blockbuster store or Blockbuster.com.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
Human behavior, the Dark Ages, only on the History Channel.
Hey, how's the coverage with that phone?
It doesn't work that great everywhere, but
that doesn't come back to bite me.
Hello?
There's been a mistake. You took home a poisonous cottonmouth.
I missed that last part. What?
It could bite you.
I lost you.
Hello?
Besides, I'm playing with my snake.
Wish you were on a more reliable wireless network? Verizon Wireless has the fewest drop calls of any national carrier.
Good.
Come give Daddy kisses.
Yeah.
Verizon Wireless, we never stop working for you.
Let me tell you that we've got a great week lined up for you, and I'm not going to tell you everyone that's going to be with us, but tomorrow night will be Jaime Maussan. How about that? All right, holding on the line with me right now is Debbie, and I had to cut you off right when we got ready. You just got on the line. We had to go to break, so go ahead, Debbie.
No problem. Okay. Yeah, I remember seeing Flemington on TV right around the time of Phoenix Lights, and the guy made a complete ass of himself. I mean, you know, let's just put it down to brass tacks. And like you said, everybody pretty much, even his constituency, probably lost faith in the guy. I mean, it was just so stupid. It would be like, you know, someone coming on the air and saying, well, you know, Kevin Smith doesn't know what the heck he's talking about.
Well, I'll tell you, it had just about as positive an effect as Jimmy Carter making the statement about Montezuma's revenge when he was down in Mexico.
Now, that that was funny.
Stupid, but funny.
Stupid, but it was funny.
Yeah.
So I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to, it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf too many times. You know, when the actual crisis came about, nobody's paying attention to him. Well, that's what's happening now. You know, the guy's no longer in the political limelight, so to speak, and because of that, he's saying, well, yeah, geez, I guess I'm going to retract my statement. Actually, I do remember seeing something that night. Yeah, right. The guy was probably at home, you know, drinking a martini and, you know, watching everything on TV, you know, as the news crews came out with what was going on, and he was probably just laughing himself silly. So,
well, I don't know, but what do you think about the concept that on the possibility that he may be serious, we may need to sort of back away and give him room to kind of set his ship aright again?
I don't see any reason why we should. I mean, you know, he ridiculed the UFO community the night of the Phoenix Lights, and why should we have any reason to give him a second chance and to believe anything he has to say? That's how I look at it.
Fair enough.
If he wants to try to resume a career in politics, I feel that's his business. I don't wish the guy any ill will, but believe me, if he would come out with another statement, I definitely wouldn't be number one listening to him or even believing him. I don't even do that with George Bush. George W. So if I don't do that with George W., I'm certainly not going to do it with Phi Symington.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks for the call.
All right, have a good night.
All right. Well, you know, I'm very, very skeptical, personally. I am very skeptical. I'm skeptical of everything that is that touches politics. I am skeptical of politicians. And with very good reason, I think we all should be, and our founding fathers said we should be, and I think they were right. But on the off chance that Mr. Symington is being genuine with us and is saying that, you know, that in fact he did see this UFO. Well, that is what he's saying. But, I mean, if he's real, if he's being serious about it, on that off chance, skeptical as I am, I believe in giving people another chance. Don't like it sometimes, but I believe in it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent?
I thought I'd get my two bits on it, in on this 5'7" guy.
Uh-huh.
Let me put it this way. The people who elected him said that, essentially said they trusted him.
Uh-huh.
He betrayed that trust. I just do not envy him trying to regain that trust.
Well, now, you're right, partially. But there are people that elected him who are of the frame of mind that UFOs don't exist, it's silly, it's stupid. And so they would probably look at him as a champion then, and they feel he's betraying them now.
Yeah, that's true.
When you've got, I mean, you have people who absolutely did not believe in UFOs, absolutely. No, they don't exist. That's the frame of mind they were in. And they walked outside that night in 1997, and they look up, and there's a two-mile-wide UFO hovering above them. Believe or don't believe, reality is reality.
That's right.
And, yeah, I'm pretty skeptical too, Brent. I really am.
I just don't envy him.
No, but you know, if he's for real this time,
he's got to have something. He's got to come out with something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wish him luck, but I don't envy him.
All right, thanks for the call.
Goodbye.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. However, consider if Mr. Symington comes out and starts telling things that we did not know about who he contacted, what they told him, and so forth. If he comes out with that kind of information, it could be very important information in this process of learning about the UFO phenomena and, in fact, what are they, where are they from, what do they want, and just basically what's up with these UFOs. He could add a lot to the mix. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. This is Dale from Mississippi.
Well, hello, Dale.
How are you?
I am doing very well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm glad to hear you're doing good.
Good. Thanks.
My question would be, what would be the motive behind this Mr. Fife coming forward now? You know, what does he have to gain from this? Basically, what he did back when he did this trick with the fake alien coming out in front of the press was he insulted the intelligence of all the people who saw this UFO and knew what it was.
Uh-huh.
And that was an insult to them.
Yes, it was.
These are the people who were supposed to be looking up to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand their feelings perfectly because when I had a sighting a few years back, it was early in the morning, and I was getting ready to go to work. It was about 4:30 in the morning, and I saw this object in the sky. It was due west from my front porch, and I couldn't stay and watch it, but I knew it wasn't a plane, and I left to go to for work. And after I got to work, one of our firemen came into the store. He comes in on a regular basis, and I happened to mention it to him. And I said, did you notice anything strange in the sky, any strange lights? And he said no, and I told him what happened. Well, he just basically laughed it off. He says, oh, you saw a UFO. And, you know, that was an insult.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know what I saw. And so did all these people who saw the Phoenix light. So,
yeah, you know, when you see something, you know what you saw.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's not your fault that you saw it.
Exactly.
It was just there.
Right. And matter of fact, two nights ago, I think it was either Friday or Saturday night, a couple nights ago, I saw the exact same thing from my front porch at the exact same place.
Uh-huh.
And it moved off to the north a little bit, and then it moved back south, and it stayed there a while, and then it moved back north again and stayed. And I just couldn't stay outside and watch it because it's late at night. But I believe it's the same thing. And I would have to ask this Fife, you know, what are you gaining from this? You know, why are you coming out now? Why have you waited 10 years to do this? And because that's going to be the main question. And I would guess, I would give him a chance. I think everybody deserves, you know, most people will deserve a second chance depending on the circumstances. And I would just sit back and listen to what he has to say and why, you know, he's doing this now.
Well, it calls for a lot of courage on the part of an elected official to stand up against the official line.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you really got to have some spine to do that. Now, Frances Barwood did. She did a great job. And one of the callers said she took the bull by the horns. Well, yep, that's what she did.
Exactly.
And even though she was ridiculed and officially laughed at, and Fife Symington was part of that, she has the everlasting respect of the population.
Exactly.
You know, and it just takes a lot of courage, and truly, as I said earlier, I see a lot of male politicians. I see few men.
That's right. And I think that the voters are going to just have to go out and insist. If they want our vote, then they're going to have to get to the bottom of it. You know, they're going to have to step forward out of the darkness and ask, why is this happening? You know.
Well, or at least be honest enough to say it's real, but we don't know what it is.
That's right.
You know, just be honest with us. I think that's important.
Do that. You know? Yeah. And it's because they haven't done the research, you know, they haven't studied it as long as we have, or they're just plain afraid. You know, they're afraid of how they're going to view themselves.
That's right. Okay, Dale, thanks for the call. I have to we have to cut away for a break, but I appreciate the call. And we will continue with Open Line Live right after this break. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles and free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
It has the clean, elegant feel of European design, with a sculpted exterior of high-grade stainless steel. The very latest in programmable technology at your fingertips. There's even room for 12. But perhaps what is most extraordinary about this stylish machine is that it's free, just for trying 4 boxes of Gevalia Cafe, Europe's most delectable coffee, for only $19.95. We'll even include a stainless steel travel mug. Order today and choose 4 from our exquisite collection of Gevalia coffees and teas. We'll deliver your freshly sealed selections direct to your doorstep along this sleek coffee maker and travel mug. A retail value of $115. Yours free for trying Gevalia with no further obligation. Order yours today. Gevalia Cafe. Always a pleasure.
Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet? No? Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today.
You sure you know what you're doing?
Yeah. Where's Ralph? Come here, Ralph.
Okay, Ralph. I want you to mount the flat screen on this wall. And then I want you to put the speakers here and here and hook it up to our computer so we can play slideshows and music. Ready, Ralph? Install.
For home theater help, you don't need a dog. You need Fire Dog. Home theater installation, PC service, wireless, and more. Fire Dog, your digital home companion. At Circuit City.
You're just a mouse click away from a better way to rent movies. Blockbuster Total Access. Movies through the mail plus movies through the store. One low price. Get a free trial at your Blockbuster store or Blockbuster.com.
Hey, how's the coverage with that phone?
Eh, it doesn't work that great everywhere, but
that doesn't come back to bite me.
Hello?
There's been a mistake. You took home a poisonous cottonmouth.
I missed that last part. What?
It could bite you.
I lost shit.
Hello?
Besides, I'm playing with my snake.
Wish you were on a more reliable wireless network? Verizon Wireless has the fewest drop calls of any national carrier.
Good.
Come give daddy kiss.
Yeah.
Verizon Wireless, we never stop working for you.
Warriors, you know, the Dark Ages.
What? The Dark Ages!
600 years of degenerate, godless, inhuman behavior. The Dark Ages, only on the History Channel.
The centuries, the simple truth, the past is by, despite the proof, perspective and perception, and the art of self-deception. From Galilee to Galileo, center of the wheel. Turn your eyes to starry skies and tell me what you feel.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
And we are back. Welcome to the second hour of the Kevin Smith Show tonight. And those of you joining us just now in this second hour, a special welcome to you. Thanks for being here. It's Open Line Live. That means we'll talk about what's on your mind. And we have a caller holding, I hope, still holding. Caller, your first name, and where are you calling from?
Michelle again from Quebec.
Okay, Michelle.
Yeah, I phoned in twice, but I thought it might be important to bring up the idea about NASA.
Okay.
They got 14 more missions in the next couple years. Then they're going to be out of space, and Russia's going to have full run of space. And I wondered what you thought about that and what your audience thought about that. That America won't be in space, and Russia will have the space station all to themselves and pretty well pre-write what they want to do.
Well, I had not heard that NASA was going out of business.
Well, they're not going out of business, but they won't be ready to go. They've only got three shuttles now. Four or five, I guess. But anyway, I know, and you know, we all know the trouble they're having with their rockets and the shuttle. And I mean, maybe you won't even get to finish them 14 missions. And after that, they ain't going back until, 2011?
Well, there's supposed to be a vehicle that replaces the shuttle. So I think they'll still fly the missions, but not with the shuttle.
Well, what I heard is it's like a $22 million the Russians are going to charge them to take them off. But I'm just saying, it's pretty scary when you think that America will be kind of grounded for a while and other countries. Can you imagine how fast America would put some money into NASA if China would land on Mars and stick a flag there and say, it's ours?
We might have to learn how, if they did that, we might have to teach our astronauts to learn to say ni hao.
Well, I think what we'll have to do is teach them astronauts, because even that is one of the problems. What's that? I don't remember his name there, but he's a private going to space there.
Are you talking about Burt Rutan?
Yeah, Rutan.
Uh-huh.
He's thinking about a plan to train astronauts, and he's got lots of money, but not that much money. And I mean, I don't even know what's going on with that billion that NASA asked for to check on meteors. You know, when you can't get $1 billion right off the button to save the planet, you know, the war costs lots of money. I'm sorry to bring in politics into it, but I mean, you know, trillions of dollars are going into war, where I think it should be going to space.
Well, yeah, but there are millions of people who criticize spending money for space exploration, you know, and they say we've got so many problems here on Earth, we need to spend it here.
Well, you remember what happened when Europe got too big? They had to go west. And the planet, like I say, that story with about the bees and anyway and everything, that, you know, who was it, Hopkins that said, we got to get off this planet?
Hawkins.
Anyway, I thought I'd throw that idea out, and if anybody's got an idea about it or they know more about it than me, it would be, I'd bring something else up on, the open line.
All right. Well, we appreciate the call. Thank you very much. In the last hour, we were talking about Fife Symington, who was the governor in Arizona at the time of the Phoenix Lights, 10 years ago when that happened. And, I don't know really how to respond personally. I don't know how I should respond to Fife Symington's apparent conversion. 10 years ago, he made the Phoenix Lights something of ridicule, something to laugh about. And as one caller said, he insulted everyone who saw that UFO. And now he's come out 10 years later saying he saw it. My position is, I'm very skeptical, but I think that you have to give people room to make amends. Maybe it's for real. I don't know. What do you think about it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. How are you? It's Dominic from Toronto, Canada calling.
Yes, Dominic.
I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
About your health, first of all. I was concerned, second of all, I'd listen to boring talk radio if you weren't on the air.
Well, thank you for the compliment.
No problem. I did buy the DVD, the one that Dr. Lin actually produced
uh-huh.
or created, and I did see that clip on the governor at the time of Arizona. I was disappointed and pretty like dumbfounded, and I don't understand what people need. And when you see this 2 mile UFO on camera, and for him to deny it was blowing me away personally. But before we pick on Simon, I do pick on the major media.
Mm-hmm.
It never happens again when it sits there for 10 minutes and he cannot deny it. I'll be protesting the major media by not listening to them. I'll be listening to shows like yours, because you guys have been the experts for years. Not you, CNN will come on with their experts, but I just wouldn't listen to it at all. So
uh-huh.
that's my opinion. So before I pick on Symington, I truly would pick on the media for actually showing that clip and for not investigating this further when it's right there.
Well, you're talking about showing the clip of him pulling this stupid stunt?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. I don't blame them for that. I think they should show us everything, good, bad, and indifferent.
Right.
But you're right. Where were the questions that pressed him further?
That's correct.
You know, they didn't investigate further. Now, again, this, I hate to bring this up because somebody's going to say it's politics. It's not politics. This is an example I want to use, though. The example is about the mood of the public. The public is finally and completely, totally finished with having their intelligence insulted and being lied to. And you can see it. You can see what happened with Fife Symington. Immediately, the public just switched him off. All right. Now, the same thing happened on the weapons of mass destruction with the news media not pressing and asking tougher questions. And what has happened to the public's what is the public response to the news media now? The public, by and large, has switched them off and said, you people are useless. You know?
Well, let me just change gears for a sec. A couple of weeks ago, you played that tape from Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
The one with those police officers. Thank you, by the way.
You're welcome.
That was fascinating. Just a quick question, and also with the Phoenix Lights. If you had tape, and you also have this audio tape, and you and I have debated before in the past on classified, if the government came up to you and said, that tape and that and any video that you have is classified, would you yourself hand it over?
Oh, yeah, I'd hand it over, but I would hand it over only because it's already been played. It's already out there. When I say that I'm not trying to pry the lid off of anything classified, I'm talking about they have things in their files that are already classified. They're trying to keep those from public scrutiny. Okay, good enough. There's plenty of other evidence like that tape that I played.
Yeah. I wouldn't hand it over, but I mean, I would question it. I mean, don't have to rip it out of my hands, but I'm just wondering if maybe if the audience can call in, or if mm-hmm. you and I debated in the past. We know your opinion on classified, and I was just wondering if he came tomorrow, the NSA or the CIA or the FBI and asked that tape, you would no hesitation hand it over to them.
Oh, I think there would be some hesitation. I think I would argue my point a little bit, but I in the end, you're going to hand it over.
Okay.
No matter who you are, if they come to get it, they're going to leave with it. You can believe that.
Okay.
Now, but the information's already out in the public, and so it's you can't classify something and make it a secret if it's already out there.
That's correct.
So,
lid on it if you have eyewitnesses from the officers from.
Yeah, now if you've got, let's say, for instance, if they were to come along and say, well, the Phoenix Lights are classified. Too late. It was too late to classify that the night it happened because it was being broadcast live over Art Bell.
That's true, but they can classify what you have. you had a clip of it that shows without any indication it wasn't flares.
Well, if they get my clip and they get your clip and they get somebody else's, they can't and they won't get them all. And somewhere out there is still one that can get out.
Okay.
And that's, see, my position is that there's no way, just by classifying something, there's no way you can put a lid on it.
Okay.
Because there are too many people that see things and hear things at each event. You know, there are people, multiple witnesses. And unless you plan on killing all of them, and there's no indication that they do, that they kill people, but unless you're planning on killing all the witnesses, you're not going to keep this thing quiet. You can't keep information quiet when you've got multiple witnesses.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to bring that up. I just want to debate with you. You're the sharpest guy on this topic, so.
Well, anyway. Look, I appreciate that. And I'm as interested and curious about what's in those files as anybody. However, if they're classified, I'm willing to say, okay, fine. Let's go out and let's talk to people in the area. Let's investigate. We can find the story anyway.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, it's been a pleasure.
All right. Thanks for the call.
And I'll keep listening. Thank you so much.
All right. Good. Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah. Sometimes people... I think maybe misunderstand what I'm saying about if something's classified, it's classified, and I'm not going to try and pry it open. But then again, the information that has been classified, that's in the dark, but there are multiple witnesses to things, and if you go out there and ask the questions and interview people, if those people will talk to you, then you still get the story. And so what I've said is that there's enough information laying out in the public domain that we can find out virtually anything that we want to find out about UFOs. There may be some things, technology things, that are classified that I'm just guessing, but classified, and we don't know about that technology because, you know, perhaps it has to do with back engineering or something. Well, okay. But events. Now, you take the Phoenix Lights. Hundreds of people, perhaps thousands, saw it as it happened. They were calling in to Art Bell's show, and he was broadcasting it and talking about it on the air. As it happened, he was giving the reports as they were coming into him. So you can't classify that, you see. That's already happened. It's already in the public domain. And it's done. Almost everything that happens these days is in the public domain immediately because of video cameras and cameras on our cell phones and because of the Internet. So virtually everything that happens on this planet is public domain instantaneously as it happens, you see. And I think that's an important thing for us to remember because we can spend all day and all night and all next week and next month fighting about disclosure and classified and disclosure and classified and instead of spending that time out investigating what's in the public domain. I think it's a great ploy, actually. I think a lot of people spend a great deal of time, like, have you ever seen a dog chase his tail? There are a lot of people spending their time chasing their tail on this. And I mean boatloads of people. Instead of being out there investigating what's laying on the ground. I mean, there's information just laying all over the place. And instead of just going out there and investigating it and interviewing people and getting testimonies, instead of doing that, somebody's got us all busy running in a circle talking about classified. Oh, it's classified. Well, we need disclosure. It's classified. Well, we need disclosure. Meanwhile, information we could have and should have that would answer most of our questions is just laying there, and we're not picking it up. The investigators are not picking it up because we're not asking the questions. We're too busy involved in this chasing our tail. So I don't know. It's sort of like people, you know, they speculate about what someone else thinks about them. And, well, he probably thinks I'm this. He probably thinks I'm that. She probably thinks this. She probably thinks that. If you want to know, go ask. You know? If you want to know, just go ask. You'll find out. But I think a lot of people are doing that with UFO information as well. They're just, you know, spinning around and spinning around and spinning around and fighting this fight over disclosure versus classified. Meanwhile, we're missing a lot of information. Well, did you hear about the big news over on Mars? A couple of big newses. Is that good English? Big newses. Couple of big newses over on Mars. This one has to do with researchers from the U.S. Geological Survey have discovered, it says, underground caves on Mars. Now, I thought that was an interesting sentence in this report. Think about it. What other kind of caves are there? Caves in the sky? All caves are underground. You never met a cave that was not underground. All, A-L-L, total, all caves are underground. Anyway, the researchers from the U.S. Geological Survey have discovered some caves on Mars. And in fact, they've discovered seven. And they have named them Dina, Chlok, Wendy, Annie, Abby, Nikki, and Jean. Glenn Cushing from the U.S. Geological Survey in Flagstaff, Arizona, saw these and I guess discovered them on some Themis images. That's a thermal emission imaging system. And they are in the Arcia Mons region near the equator of Mars. Now, the interesting thing about these caves is what he says is that in relationship to ice, to water ice, he says caves provide shelter from the elements, particularly the dust storms and temperature extremes. And on the red planet, they also protect from the rain of micrometeorites, solar flares, ultraviolet radiation, and high-energy particles from space. So such underground caverns might also harbor stable water ice. Ice, he says, is not stable in contact with the Martian atmosphere. It is possible to have ice in the subsurface, but not in a cave, he says. So I'm not real sure. I mean, he's saying that you might actually have some water ice in there because it's a protected environment. Well, the other big news is from Mars has to do with they have found enough water on Mars that it's locked up in ice, but they found enough of it that it would cover the whole planet under 36 feet of water if it were to melt. It's bigger than the state of Texas in the United States. Now, the state of Texas is bigger than most countries. You're aware of that. And I hope you're aware of that. From one side of Texas to the other side of Texas is about 600, 700 miles. From the top of Texas to the bottom tip of Texas is about 1,200 miles. It's huge. And this slab of ice is about 2.5 miles thick. And they say if it were to melt, that the water would cover the entire surface of Mars under 36 feet of water. So here we have at the equator some caves that scientist says, you know, there might be some water ice in there. And then here we have some reports coming back from the Mars Express probe, which the Mars Express probe is the European Space Agency. So here is this information coming back from the Mars Express probe telling us that at the South Polar region of Mars, you've got a huge, gigantic slab of water ice. Why is that interesting? Well, just because, a few years ago, we had Richard Hoagland saying that there is running water on the surface of Mars now, that there's liquid water on the surface of Mars right now. And we had the entire establishment scientific community laughing at Richard Hoagland and ridiculing and talking about how that was completely impossible, because everybody knows that the Martian atmosphere is just so thin that if there was any liquid water on Mars, why, it would just evaporate up into the sky. Well, here we are now, years later, and they're eating crow once again. Richard Hoagland said that there was liquid water on Mars based on photographs that NASA had taken. And now NASA is saying there is liquid water on Mars based on photographs taken by their former satellite, the Mars Global Surveyor. And then now there's so much liquid water that's locked up in ice. There's so much of it on the South Polar region, it would cover the whole planet under 36 feet of water if it were to melt. Yeah, that's interesting. We'll be back.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
What kind of music is this?
Death metal.
I don't get this new stuff.
New? Are you kidding me? These guys got everything they know from the marauding Visigoth warriors. You know, the Dark Age.
What? The Dark Ages!
600 years of degenerate, godless, inhuman behavior. The Dark Ages, only on the History Channel.
Hey, how's the coverage with that phone?
It doesn't work that great everywhere, but
that doesn't come back to bite me.
Hello?
There's been a mistake. You took home a poisonous cottonmouth.
I missed that last part. What?
It could bite you.
I lost you.
Hello?
Besides, I'm playing with my snake.
Wish you were on a more reliable wireless network? Verizon Wireless has the fewest drop calls of any national carrier.
Good.
Come give daddy kisses.
Yeah.
Verizon Wireless, we never stop working for you.
You're just a mouse click away from a better way to rent movies. Blockbuster Total Access. Movies through the mail plus movies through the store. One low price. Get a free trial at your Blockbuster store or Blockbuster.com.
You sure you know what you're doing?
Yeah. Where's Ralph? Come here, Ralph.
Okay, Ralph. I want you to mount the flat screen on this wall, and then I want you to put the speakers here and here and hook it up to our computer so we can play slideshows and music. Ready, Ralph? Install.
For home theater help, you don't need a dog. You need Fire Dog. Home theater installation, PC service, wireless, and more. Fire Dog, your digital home companion at Circuit City.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
And welcome back. It is open line. That means we'll talk about whatever's on your mind. And you can call in at 1-800-289-1092. That is toll free throughout North America. And if you live outside of North America, you can always send us a flash message. A flash message is simply an email addressed to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. And if you send us a flash message and you're from outside of the North American region, I will read it on the air, just like this one. This is from Australia, and it says, just thought I'd let you know, Ghost Radio appears only to be carrying the first hour of your show. I can't get your player to work on your website. Are there other sites that carry you? Well, the player on my website is nothing but Windows Media, period. And, yes, there are other places that carry it. They're on the website. There are banners on the website. But it's just a Windows Media player. And so, and it is working. We have tens of thousands of people listening. The problem is probably the same old problem that we've talked about before, and that is you probably are going to have to you have your firewall set to block that player, and you may have to turn your firewall off or change the settings while you listen to the show. So back to this thing about the water at the polar region. The polar region, South Polar region, has so much water ice that if it were to melt, it would cover the planet of Mars under 36 feet of water. Now listen to this. Now you see, this is that's amazing, but here is where establishment science gets kind of squirrely. Now listen. One area with an especially bright reflection from the base of the deposits posed a puzzle for the researchers. It resembled what a thin layer of liquid water might look like to radar, but the conditions are so cold that the presence of melted water was considered highly unlikely. Isn't that also what you have at Lake Vostok? Lake Vostok on Antarctica is a liquid water lake under 2.5 miles or under 2 miles of ice. And, you know, we make assumptions and say, well, it's just so cold on Antarctica that there's no way you can have a liquid water lake. But there is one. And perhaps it is so cold on Mars that you just can't have a liquid water lake. But remember Lake Vostok. And, I mean, I think it's entirely possible that you could have a liquid water lake under all of that, the 2 miles, 2.5 miles of ice. There's liquid water that flows on the surface of Mars. That much has been determined. Now, we're not talking about, you know, a continual stream. We're not talking about a river that's just flowing all the time. I don't think that has been discovered, nor do I think that it will be discovered. On the other hand, I think it is possible that there are a number of liquid water lakes under frozen liquid or frozen water ice. Just like we have in Antarctica. I think that's entirely possible. I think it's also an interesting thing because I don't know. I mean, I've had people, Lord, you know, here on this show we have people who have all different kinds of views about things, and I've had people who have come on this show and who have said to me and to you that we have a base on Mars. There have been people who have come on this show and have said, yes, there is a base on Mars. And it's, I remember one or two have said something about it being the southern polar area. Well, I think if that were true, and who knows, I mean, maybe it is. I certainly don't know. But if that were true, they would need water, would they not? And now, here we're discovering, it's being told to us, that that's where the water is. The water is in the South Polar region. Now, what if you get inside these caves up around the equator? Because you see, around the equator, it gets up as high as around 80 degrees Fahrenheit at times. What if in those caves, the temperature deep in the caves does not get to freezing, which is 32 degrees Fahrenheit or 0 Celsius. What if it doesn't? Because you see, inside of caves here on this planet, if you get deep inside the cave, it stays at about a constant 65 to 70 degrees. Up around the entrance of the cave, it may, you know, the temperature will take on the ambient temperature outside. But once you get deep into the cave, it's about 65 to 70 degrees. It doesn't get much hotter than that or colder. In the wintertime, you may have a blizzard outside, but deep in the cave, 65 to 70 degrees. So what if you've got something similar going on with these caves over on Mars? What if that's what's happening? Well, you know, you've got these caves, and what we're talking about is the story that I read, and actually I didn't read it, I referred to it. The U.S. Geological Survey researchers have found 7 caves on Mars. So what if you get deep inside of those and it doesn't quite get cold enough to freeze water? It doesn't get hot enough to fry bacon, just like here on Earth. I'm pretty sure it would be colder than the caves here because, you know, our caves here, there's heat coming from deep, deep, deep inside the Earth. And perhaps you don't have that on Mars. But the point is that you could have a situation where you've got the these caves that have sort of a protected environment. They're not being bleached and baked by the ultraviolet light. They're not being bombarded by micrometeorites. They're not being deep inside the cave. They're not going to be subject to the dust storms. So you might have a situation where you have liquid water in the caves. And if you do, would it be possible that those caves could be used as a habitat for manned missions to Mars? Could we use the caves as a place to live, to start a colony? If we can, is it possible that some previous civilization may already be there living now? Ah, now you see it sounds a little squirrely to you. Now you're beginning to say, oh, that can't be real. Well, why not? Have you been to Mars? I mean, really, have you been to Mars? There is, on the island of Timor, a particular lizard that comes out in the nighttime and screams an obscenity. I won't repeat it here on the air, but this lizard actually screams an obscenity. You will swear that it is a human screaming an obscenity and you can understand what it is very clearly. It's just the noise that lizard makes. Some of you, when I tell you there's a lizard that screams an obscenity, and it sounds like a human screaming an obscenity that's very clear, you know exactly what he said. You think I'm lying. You think that's not true. But it is true. It is absolutely true. And everyone who's ever lived on Timor knows it's true. You may laugh at it, you may scoff at it, but have you ever been to Timor? I'm telling you, it is true. And I know that it's true because I lived there for 2 years. So on Mars, are you willing to say that a thing is silly and can't be true when you haven't been there? See, some of you still think that the Martian sky is red, but it's not. It's blue, just like here. Some of you think that the Martian ground is a deep crimson red, but it's not. It's just a kind of a sandy red like the dirt right out here in the desert where I live around Arizona. How do we know that? Have we ever been to Mars? No, but we sent some rovers up there, and they sent back some live photographs that didn't match all that colored up stuff that NASA's been putting out. The live photos, the live footage showed the truth. Truth is, sky is blue just like here, and the ground is just a sandy color like it is here. It's not a deep crimson red. That's all a hoax. This is Open Line Live Night. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind, except politics. The toll-free number to call is 1-800-289-1092, 1-800-289-1092. I pay for the call. We will discuss whatever is on your mind. We've talked about already tonight, and we'll continue, if you wish, to talk about Fife Symington, former governor of Arizona, while governor, made it a point on national television to ridicule the Phoenix Lights event and people who thought they saw a UFO. He ridiculed it. And then now here we are 10 years later, and he's saying, you know what, I saw it too. It was real. I saw it. And it was not flares. That's what he's saying now. You want to talk about that some more? We'll talk about that. I've got a question. The question about it is, do you give this man room to make this change, to make amends? Or do you say, no, you had your shot at it, and you made fun and you ridiculed, so, you know, just go away and leave us alone? Or do you give him a second chance? How do you call it? Also, the water on Mars certainly makes it possible. I'm not going to say that it makes it likely, but it certainly makes it possible that there could be sophisticated or intelligent, complex life living in the caves that have been discovered on Mars. There has been this discovery of liquid water. There has also been the discovery of ice water. By ice water, I mean it's water ice. It's H2O in ice form. So much of it that it could cover the entire planet with 36 feet of water. Now, I say that suggests that you could have, living in the caves, you could have the remnants of a civilization. That is possible. Although I'm not going to say it's likely, it's certainly something, I think it's way out there on the edge of possibility, but it is a possibility. Now, the reason I even bring that up is because there have been lots and lots of people with lots and lots of credentials who have taken a look at the various artifacts, if you will, on the surface of Mars, and they say that there is every indication that there has been a living civilization of intelligent beings on that planet. And where did they go? Well, I think the answer to that is probably the same as the answer, you know, to the question, where did the water go? A great deal of it went to the South Pole and became ice, but is it possible there are remnants of that civilization that are still living on the planet, but perhaps in caves, protected from the elements by being in the caves? Way out there on the edge of possibility, but it is a possibility. We'll be back right after this.
You took home a poisonous cottonmouth.
I missed that last part. What?
It could bite you.
I lost shit.
Hello?
Besides, I'm playing with my snake.
Wish you were on a more reliable wireless network? Verizon Wireless has the fewest drop calls of any national carrier.
Good.
Come give Daddy kisses.
Yeah. Verizon Wireless, we never stop working for you.
You're just a mouse click away from a better way to rent movies. Blockbuster Total Access. Movies through the mail plus movies through the store. One low price. Get a free trial at your Blockbuster store or Blockbuster.com.
It has the clean, elegant feel of European design with a sculpted exterior of high-grade stainless steel. The very latest in programmable technology at your fingertips. There's even room for 12. But perhaps what is most extraordinary about this stylish machine is that it's free just for trying 4 boxes of Gevalia Cafe, Europe's most delectable coffee, for only $19.95. We'll even include a stainless steel travel mug. Order today and choose 4 from our exquisite collection of Gevalia coffees and teas. We'll deliver your freshly sealed selections direct to your doorstep along this sleek coffee maker and travel mug. A retail value of $115. Yours free for trying Gevalia with no further obligation. Order yours today. Gevalia Cafe. Always a pleasure.
You sure you know what you're doing?
Yeah. Where's Ralph? Come here, Ralph.
Okay, Ralph. I want you to mount the flat screen on this wall, and then I want you to put the speakers here and here, and hook it up to our computer so we can play slideshows and music. Ready, Ralph? Install!
For home theater help, you don't need a dog. You need Fire Dog. Home theater installation, PC service, wireless, and more. Fire Dog, your digital home companion. At Circuit City.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call Kevin Smith at
800-289-1092.
We are back. I'll tell you what, I love this song, talking about the things we talk about, and here's why. But I know. Somebody's been lying to me. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Brent from Wyoming. And I just have something for you to think about. What is the largest freshwater lake on the planet Earth? It's underground in China, isn't it?
It's not liquid. It is water, and it's mostly water, but it's locked up in sands.
Yeah, so what's to say something like that does not exist on Mars?
Oh, I'm sure it does. But I'll tell you what, Brent. What they're getting from their radar camera is liquid water. Mm-hmm. At the layer just between the ice and the planet itself, and they're saying, but of course it couldn't be that because it's too cold. And I'm saying, well, of course it could be that. Look at Vostok.
Yeah, I agree. But I will. Can I make one comment?
Yeah.
My only problem with Texas is I lived there for a year, and they have a big ego problem. Now, the thing can be the size of Texas, and that's fine. If it was the size of Alaska, I would be impressed.
Well, of course, if Alaska ever, you know, with global warming, once global warming does its number on Alaska, it's going to be about the size of Rhode Island.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not true. Alaska is huge.
I know, but...
Yeah, that's just a... that's just a thing that Texans say about Alaska. Texas is big, and the analogy of it being the size of Texas comes right out of the article.
Yeah.
And they're saying that there is this slab of ice the size of Texas.
But he's from Texas. What can you say about him?
Yeah, it could be, but then again, Texas isn't broken up into little strings of islands either.
No, neither is most of Alaska.
Yeah, but part of it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for the call.
Goodbye.
It's a little bit, I guess, disconcerting to me, or it causes me to raise my antennas a little bit whenever they say, as they did in this article here, that they saw an especially bright reflection on their radar image coming back from the satellite, resembling what a thin layer of liquid water might look like to radar. But the conditions are so cold that the presence of melted water was considered highly unlikely. The presence of melted ice, you know, liquid water, the presence of that on Antarctica also seems highly unlikely. But there's Lake Vostok. It is a liquid water lake under 2 miles of ice. I mean, regardless of how unlikely it may seem, it's there. And this brings us back to what I say all the time, folks, what is, and that's all it is. Doesn't matter whether you believe in it, or you think it's possible, or you think it's impossible, what is. It is reality. And, you know, you may say, well, I just don't believe in that. So what? Doesn't mean that it's not true. Or you might say, I do believe in it. Well, so what? That doesn't make it true. What is. Reality exists independent of what you and I think about it. It exists. Now, it is entirely possible that there is a liquid water lake under 2 miles of ice on Mars. If you can have it on the Earth, I think you can have it on Mars. Caller, we have time for a real quick call. First name and where are you calling from?
I'm Michelle again, and it's going to be quick. Is this the idea about the caves you were talking about?
Uh-huh.
Where's the last place that a civilization goes when it's at the end? In the caves.
So
it's going to be in them caves. It's a very interesting story you brought up. A lot of scenarios.
Who knows? Maybe inside those caves are the remnants of a civilization that once flourished on the surface.
Well, remember France? The caves in there with the drawings?
Uh-huh.
Right back to prehistoric time.
That's true.
And the tablets were found in caves.
That's true.
Just very interesting, and not one, but not two, but nine, and they are only from space. Can you imagine how many we could find when we got down there?
Yeah. Well, they found seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, still, how many are there that, you know, once you get down closer and get a better view?
There may be, all up under Mars. It may be a civilization living under there now.
And one more point, the center of Mars is still heating a bit, so they could be warming, in the cave.
Well, it could be. Generally, here on Earth, caves keep a constant temperature,
Very interesting to bring that up, because, there's a lot of potential there.
Oh, I think so.
Even to check, you don't have to drill or nothing. You go in there and get samples for minerals.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Anyway, I thought I'd just put my 2 points and 2 cents in there.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. All right, folks, we're about out of time for this evening. Tomorrow evening, my guest is Mr. Jaime Maussan. Now, there's a really unusual story that has popped up down in Mexico. And, Jeff Woolline has taken made videos of things flying in the sky here around the Phoenix area. And some people have said, well, that's not really a UFO. And he has said these are living entities that are coming up out of the earth. And others then have criticized his work and so forth, and then turned around and taken credit for his work. Nevertheless, what he has been photographing and what he has been videotaping looks very, very similar to some things that have been seen in Mexico. Now, this event down in Mexico that I'm talking about, some people videotaped it. The police officers who were called to the scene to work the incident, those police officers, a couple of them required medical attention because these things fought them. And I've been asking Jeff Woolline, what happens if these things go hot, if they go active on you? Aren't you afraid of them? And so here we have a story down in Mexico. There's some videotape on the Internet showing, it actually looks like a classical shape of a witch flying on a broom is what it looks like. I mean, it's at a distance, but that's what it looks like. And the officers said they think they were fighting witches. But whatever it was flying in the air. I'm going to ask Jaime Maussan about that story, and we'll see if he's got any information about it. Jaime Maussan, tomorrow evening, and we've got some more journalists and participants in the Phoenix Lights incident lined up for the rest of this week. All right, folks, we've run out of time. I hope you've enjoyed tonight. I always enjoy Open Line Live. Be sure you call all your friends, your family, and even your enemies to tell them that we're on the air again tomorrow night. Same time. Every night, Monday through Friday. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow night. So long, everybody.